And just like that, we're back for another episode. Welcome to the After Hours with Amanda podcast, the podcast that is for everyone and anyone, no matter what era you happen to be in right now. And we're on video. I did it. I committed to myself that our first episode, we would just kick off and I would record it. There is honestly no place better than my closet floor. So I feel a little naked being out here. I'm going to be honest, not truly naked, obviously, but I feel a little, it's like more vulnerable being out here. So one day when we're in our like podcast vibes and we've been picked up, right, we are going to be in a closet. Like when someone comes to me and they say, Amanda, we want to pick up the podcast. We love your community. We want to do things with you. How do you see this? I see it being set in a closet with a comfy chair or on the floor and a blanket, because I do love my blankies, which are sitting directly across from me right now, but it's just too warm to be in a blanket today, even though the house is actually kind of chilly, if I'm honest. But I hope that that first episode brought you some joy. I know it was probably like drinking from a fire hose because I had a lot to share and I had a lot I wanted to get out. And it was so funny because someone without knowing it commented on one of my TikToks today and they said, hey, is the podcast coming back? Are you going to be doing like a back to school episode? And I thought, are you in my head? Because I literally did that less than 12 hours ago. And so I'm excited that that's coming. I wanted it to just kind of be like a small, quick little episode to get us going again, like riding a bike because it's been a hot minute. And I know that all of us are kind of in that back to school. I have to prep myself. So I told you last time that we don't go back to school till after Labor Day. And I have to, starting now, what I start doing is dialing my alarm clock back. Because during the summer, I can sleep until like 7. I can even sleep until 7:30, depending on the tiny queens, and take my time getting up. During the school year, we commute. We are commuters to our school. I do not get the luxury of being like, oh, well, we slept in a little. No, because traffic. There could be traffic. There could be a wreck on the freeway. So I don't have that luxury of, it'll be okay. We're right around the corner kind of thing. Granted, that's a choice I made, but I still have to be up no later than 5:30 on a school day. So I start slowly ticking back my clock. And this week I've gotten my clock to where I'm getting up at like 6:30. I did 6:15 the other day. It helps that we have weekend activities now too. Like London has a cheer thing this weekend and we have to be – where we're going is 40 minutes away from where we live. And so we're going to have to be up at 5:30, 6 tops. It's like definite – swim kept us in the rhythm. I will say I'm grateful for swim during the summer because it at least keeps me where it's not all summer. My body is getting used to that sleeping in. So – school is on its way and I still have to buy school supplies. Oh gosh. They sent out the list and I was like, okay, this is how my brain works. They sent out the school email for each of the grades. And granted, like Corey being like pre-K, she doesn't have very many supplies happening there. But the other two lists that email came across with all the information, with all the stuff that was going on. And I started to read it and it had all these links, which like, thank you, God, to whoever sent this out at our school, because I'm grateful that there's links included to what I need. But I immediately was overwhelmed and I like shut my phone. I was like, I can't do this today. And then they reminded, like they sent out a little cute reminder on social media, like, hey, here's the link to the list. And I was like, I don't have the capacity for that right now. Like I can't, but I'm going to have to. Because I cannot wait. And the thing on social media said this. It was like, don't wait till the first day of school or the day before to get school supplies. And I've done that. I've done that before. There's a lot of pressure with school. There's a lot of intensity that comes with stuff. And this year I'm so excited that I'm actually a room mom for one of the tiny queens. That one of the teachers asked me to be a room mom. And to me, that's like asking. That's like, I don't even, that's not like a brand trip. Like I don't need to go on a brand trip. The teacher asking me to be a partner this year makes me feel so special. I'm like, you need, yes, I'm there. I will send out the emails. I will get the sign up genius ready. But I'm also very nervous. I'm going to have to really plan things out because this is going to require me to be mildly, just a scotch, organized. Because people are depending on my email that will be sent out on Sundays for what the week looks like, or field trip signups, or coffee signups, because we deliver coffee to our teachers. So I am taking a deep breath with that. I'm taking a deep breath with that. So yeah, but I'm honestly really excited. I wanted to talk today because, you know, imposter syndrome. There's a lot of stuff going on in our life. There's a lot of like exciting changes, exciting things, just stuff that's all exciting, but that can definitely warrant imposter syndrome. And I want to talk about Cinderella because of that. I want to talk about Cinderella because I feel like this analogy is super helpful, and I think it can be helpful for humans, tiny, old, middle, wherever you are in life. I think that this analogy is helpful. And I always think of Cinderella and the glass slipper. And I think that there's honestly two things. I think there's not using Anastasia and Drizella as the example, okay, of people that tried on the shoe. But I think for me, when I watch Cinderella, there's honestly two things that always stick out to me about that. And the first one has to do with imposter syndrome, right? Because when I think of Cinderella, and granted, you're probably like, what are you talking about? But we're just going to just go with me on it. Trust me. Let's take this journey together, okay? I don't have a Coke. I'm currently drinking water because I need to get my daily intake in. You guys, coming from someone who never drank water, this is just insane, but I've got to get my daily intake. So we're going to reward ourselves with kombucha later, because you can never have like enough delightful probiotics. Anyways, the story of Cinderella, people mainly think, is centered around this idea that Cinderella has a loving father, right? I love the live action, the outfit and live action. This loving father. And her father passes away and she has this evil stepmother. And then eventually this fairy godmother, guardian angel, comes to her, helps her get to the ball. She goes, she's there, midnight strikes, she turns back into herself. And suddenly she's back at home, and now the prince is looking for this gal that had this shoe. Long story short, the shoe fits. Eventually they get back together, they get married, and they live happily ever after. But something that occurred to me a few years ago when I was watching Cinderella was that Cinderella, yes, was in a gorgeous dress. Okay. I really love the cartoon dress. I really do. That cartoon dress was my favorite. And had glass slippers. And that was when the prince saw her, right? That was when he first noticed her, right? But I don't think that's why he noticed her. I don't think that's why he noticed Cinderella. I granted, someone coming into the ball a little late in a gorgeous gown with a sweet kind of like understanding, loving essence would definitely spark interest. Okay. But I like to think that Cinderella and the prince spent time together that night, and that it had nothing to do with the dress, and it had nothing to do with the shoe of why she was the perfect match. And I like to kind of think of the fact that Cinderella could have really had imposter syndrome here, right? Like, she showed up and she quote unquote wasn't herself, right? She wasn't wearing what she casually wore, which, like, let's take me for example, date night clothing. And when you're at home running around in your casual athletic gear, doing your thing, getting everything done. I think Blake just got off a call and I'm going to text him to make sure he doesn't come upstairs because I'm recording. Like, hi, I'm recording the podcast. But she, hold on, I can't do two things at once like this. Hold on. Watch him bust through the door with the dogs. But she went to the ball that night, and granted, her outfit was different, but she wasn't. I like to think that that whole night they spent time together, and it wasn't that she was really great at waltzing. But it was that he experienced Cinderella. He experienced being around this incredible human. He experienced her person, her essence, her vibe, whatever you want to call it. He experienced Cinderella. That had nothing to do with the dress and the shoe. And you might think, well, he wouldn't have known who she was if she didn't have the shoe. And that's true, right? But the shoe only fit her. And I like to think that the fairy godmother, she designed it that way. She designed it that way because there's only one a Cinderella. And sometimes I think that we hide behind things but our true self is always there, who we are, okay? And sometimes it's, if I'm really honest and to be completely vulnerable here, social media can really feel like that. Like you have one video that does really well and you're really on the groove and things are moving for you and you feel really great about it. And then you do say a video and it just like flops and it tanks. It can make you question everything. It can make you question everything you're doing because it's tricky that way. It trains your brain, right, with that hit of dopamine to be like, this means I'm doing good and this means I'm not doing good. It's a ranking system. That's actually not true. Because sometimes some of the things that I share that maybe don't quote unquote pop off or go viral or whatever, however you want to define what you want to define a video doing well or something being shared doing well, those are some of the most impactful DMs I get on some of those videos that according to the naked eye in insights or stats or whatever would not look like they did well, would not look like they were one of your top ones, right? You look at someone's account and usually when they have a video pinned to it, it's like their most viewed pins. Like their most viewed video is what's pinned, right? It's one of their higher viral, the one you know them for, right? Like I have a couple, I have the Disneyland one, but that, I mean, that's pinned because it's Disneyland, about me talking about how my best friend and I, you know, quote unquote, planned a Disneyland trip, which side note, the dads, the husbands, they're always aware of what we're doing. Okay. It's just a fun little game we play where we think we've really planned something out. Okay. But they're always like aware that we're trying to do that. But the thing is with Cinderella is there's so much focus put on the shoe, right? And there's so much focus put on the dress and the midnight and her turning into a pumpkin. And we make jokes about it. We're like, oh, at midnight, I'm going to turn into a pumpkin. But who Cinderella was never changed. The only thing that changed was her outfit. And so for me, that movie is so special because I see that as the only person who can fit what you're doing is you. All of us have a glass slipper, to use the analogy, in our life. All of us wear a glass slipper with the people around us that you don't even know you're wearing. You don't even know that you're slipping into your glass slipper and you're sharing with someone and you're doing that for someone. And you don't even know that you're the only one that fits. And there are certain moments where maybe there are certain moments where we fill that glass slipper on, right? We say, I'm doing what I'm supposed to. Only I can do this. And we believe in ourselves. And I think that sometimes it's okay to feel like you want to put on that dress, right? You want to put on a little bit of a persona, right? You've got a big event coming up, like this thing with Disneyland, okay? This thing with Disneyland, us getting to go to Disneyland and be a part of what I'm going to be a part of and sharing that experience, like I want to feel my best, right? I want to wear something cute. I want it. Does that mean I don't already have something cute? No. But does it feel like I want to do like, you know, I looked everywhere for those Disney Aldo 100 shoes, like the platforms. I can't drive to San Francisco. It's 2.5+ hours away. But it doesn't stop me from wanting to do something special for that, right? But does who I am change? No. Does who they ask to come, our little unit, tiny queens, me included, does that change with the outfit that I choose to wear? No. Because I'm wearing my glass slipper. And I think sometimes in life we don't realize that we're reaching people and we're speaking to people and we're a part of people and their lives, and only you can fit that glass slipper. And then there's the Anastasia and Drizellas in our lives, okay? The people that come and they try to put on your glass slipper, but they don't do it in this really like, can I share in what you're doing way? And this really, can I come alongside you way? They do it in the, I want this for myself way. And I'm not talking about, people always get so hyphy with content creation. You guys, the world is a cyclical thing, fashion, okay? Movies, everything. The storylines have been made, right? The styles have been worn. We're literally reliving the 2000s right now, right? And that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is people that want to come along and they want to steal that glass slipper. I always loved the song, This Little Light of Mine, when I was a kid. And this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And it says, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. And then it says, don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. It's all the singing I'm ever gonna do. But the thing is that whether or not, you know, Jesus is your homie, as I always say, we all have a light or a glass slipper. And that's inherently ours. But people come along and they try and blow it out. Wait, someone told me once, what is it? There is someone, it's not Brian Brown. Who is it? It's one of those great, what is it? Someone told me something once that it's an analogy and it was used and it was really cool. And they said that it's like blow out our light or something. It's the exact same thing I'm talking about. My mom used to call them Hoovers. She'd call them Hoovers. They come along and they don't pick up the dirt to help. They just suck everything from you. They take everything. And when I think of Cinderella, I think that being Cinderella in your own life, right? Cinderella, whatever you want to call her, being Cinderella in your own life, when you encounter people in your daily life, you may not even realize that you're wearing a glass slipper. And whether you're in your quote unquote, not cute, not made up, you know, Cinderella's maid clothes when she's in her little outfit and apron, or whether you're in your ball gown and glass slipper, feeling like you're taking on the world, who you are never changes. The experience of that never changes. The prince didn't see Cinderella and think, wow, these shoes and this dress are great. The shoe, the imprint that she left on him, the shoe on the stair, the imprint, right? That was why he wanted to find Cinderella. That was what made the impact. And when I think of that movie, I think of the fact that so often we forget that we have such spectacular glass slippers that leave an imprint on people's lives and that you have so much to offer. And yet that imposter syndrome comes in, that evil stepmother in your life, Anastasia, Drizella, that negativity comes in and it just makes you feel like you can't. And it wants you to be locked away, that person, that lie that you tell yourself. Maybe it's not a person. Maybe it's you. Maybe you are the Anastasia and Drizella in your life. Because I know sometimes I'm the evil steps, I'm the evil stepmother and stepsister to myself. I'm cruel and unkind to myself. Sometimes my internal voice is absolutely like, if I heard someone speaking to my tiny queens the way that I sometimes speak to myself, I'd be infuriated. It'd be mama bear all over. I'd be coming. I'd be bringing the hammer. Sometimes we don't even realize that when we look back in the mirror, the internal voice that we're speaking to ourselves with is an evil stepmother and an evil stepsister. Because what we've done is we've taken those voices or we've taken those people and those internal voices, they come from something. They come from somewhere. They come from someone, right? And that has gotten in there and that puts us up in a tower, locked away, not sharing all that beautiful stuff. And it's little people like Gus Gus that come along, get the key to try and remind us. And I like to think of that as I'm giving this whole analogy of Cinderella, just so you could see what goes through my mind with this movie and how I like to kind of play it out with the girls. As they grow, I like to explain just a little bit more and more and more of this movie. As you see Gus Gus and then literally throwing this key, right? They're going up the stairs with this key, okay? They're trying to get it to Cinderella. Those little moments that remind us who we are to pull us out of what we're in. They unlock that door. And I think they're so important to remember. And I think it's so beautiful, the story of Cinderella, because she meets everyone with such kindness and such love. And when she's at her lowest, here come the birds. Here comes the dog. All because Lucifer, so rightly named, is trying to get the key. And he wants to ruin it. And that glass slipper that shatters, this is the best part in the world, right? The glass slipper breaks. It's broken. Where does Cinderella pull the glass slipper from to try on? Herself. She pulls it from herself because it was always there. She always had the glass slipper. And that's, I think that some people miss that with Cinderella. I think we miss that she pulls the glass slipper out of her pocket and the evil stepmother can't take it from her and the stepsisters can't take it from her. And she hands it over and says, oh, here's my glass slipper. It was here all along because it was me. I was the glass slipper. Who I was, the imprint I left was so much more than just a shoe. And that's why Cinderella is one of my absolute favorite Disney movies. I love that. Because for me, I don't know when that came to me. And honestly, it's not even my own thought. It was like one day this just landed in my head a while ago. And I was like, wait a second, you guys, as the gardeners are literally outside my window right now, if you hear that. But when this came to me, I thought, whoa, wait, we're missing the whole point here. Like, yeah, girlfriend shows up, okay, and the fairy godmother comes along, okay, and this outfit just appears out of nowhere, right? But everything that she needed that night was already in her life. The horse, the pumpkin, the mice, they were all already there to help carry her to this event. The shoe that was hers that was left was the imprint of just who she was. And when that was taken from her, you realize that no one could have ever taken it from her, because the minute that she, and I like to think, remembered who she was, the minute she was able to, she came down those stairs and she had the glass slipper herself. And the satisfaction I always get on that stepmother's face when she sees it, she pulls it out of her pocket. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, look, she had it all along. It was her. It was in her. And I want to remind you today that whatever you're feeling, you have that glass slipper. Just sometimes we get imposter syndrome. And sometimes we forget that we have that. Sometimes we forget that everything that was there, right? And again, for me, because Jesus is my homie, I like to see the fairy godmother as that guardian angel. Cinderella was never really alone. She was never really left. The fairy godmother was there when she truly needed her, when Cinderella had tried everything on her own. She had cleaned as hard as she could. She had grabbed things that she had, all those things, those quote-unquote cast-off items, right, for her mother's dress. And that pink dress, I'll never forget, you guys. Oh my gosh, it's ripped. We kept it. I'll never get rid of it. When Disney came out with the like princess dresses, and she, London, got them, but they came in a set. And do you know what dress they had? That pink one. Oh. And when I saw, Wild Horses couldn't have stopped me, because if I could find that in adult size, if I could find that dress in an adult size, I'd be wearing it for Halloween. My dad's picking up a Target order. I didn't realize he was going right now, so I'm just going to put that we're at Target. Don't you love spending time together? But there's something else that I want to tell you about Cinderella that I think is really important, that the stepsisters do not represent this in any way, shape, or form. But I want to tell you something when it comes to shoes, because again, I love a good shoe analogy. I actually, when I was in high school, did my senior thesis. Like, we had to do a history project in my history class, and the history teacher was the football coach at the time. And he was like, do something on something impactful in history. And I did it on the history of shoes. There were no guidelines. So I did it on the history of shoes. I will not say that he enjoyed that project, but it was well written. It met all the obligations of it. And so I did get an A on that project. But here's the other thing with the shoe. Sometimes in life, and this is kind of twofold, sometimes in life, we try to, and again, don't hear what I'm not saying with Anastasia and Drizella here. I'm merely using the shoe as an analogy. Sometimes in life, we look at other people's lives and we think, that's what I should be doing. And again, let's use content creation as that. Sometimes you see people doing content and you're like, oh, I should be doing that. That's what's popular. That's what I should be doing. I should change what I'm doing right now because that's what other people are doing. That's how I ended up changing my college major 5 times. I started with, oh, people think I have to know my major going in. Okay, that's what I should know my major going in. Oh, wait a second though. I don't really like this major, but this major is working out for my other friend and I kind of have similar, I should do that. I'm going to be hugely successful as that. Never taking the time to kind of investigate what our glass slipper is that makes us unique and why Cinderella's glass slipper only fit her. Sometimes we go and we try on, and there's nothing wrong with trying different things, but what I'm saying is we try to shove ourselves into somebody else's slipper. And we put it on, right? We put it on like Anastasia and Giselle. Do we get our foot out there, right? My foot is not dirty. That's a reflection, by the way, if you saw that. We put it on and we're like, look, it fits. You guys, it fits. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is where I'm at. This is my stepmother has told me, right? A lot of times, you know, depending on the home you grew up in, your parents kind of tell you what you're going to do, right? This is what you do. This is what you don't do. You can't be successful at that. Artists don't make money. What are you going to go to school for that? That's not a real job. Oh, you're going to do that. There's all the internal voices, right, that are there. So we put on that shoe. We're like, look, you guys, it fits. It fits. Do you ever think that Anastasia and Drizella were just exhausted by their mom? Literally every time making them sing, making them super competitive with one another. Dressing them. She for sure dressed them. You can tell by those outfits. They did not pick them out. Okay. She was picking them out for him. And they try on the shoe and it's so, it fits, it fits, it fits. And at first it fits, right? And you see her foot like coming up and then it flings off, right? Because it doesn't fit. Because you're literally forcing it. It's not meant to be. It's not meant to be. Okay. And then the other one, right? Then we're going to put on the other one. It fits perfectly, but you're not seeing the whole picture. You don't see the whole picture until it pans out and you see that half her foot's in it. Half her foot. Because it was never meant to be hers. Because sometimes we get imposter syndrome so much, we doubt ourselves. And again, can we just take a moment to say preaching to myself with this right now? Literally sharing all my thoughts with you about Cinderella on purpose because I need this reminder too. We go and we try to put on other people's shoes, thinking that they're really going to fit us. We try to put on the shoe someone tells us is going to fit. But at the end of the day, when you force something like that, and that's not to say that you can't, just because I want to clarify, because I know someone's going to come and tell me this. I'm not saying you can't try on different shoes. I changed my major 5 times to figure out what I wanted. But what I am saying is that sometimes, like I say, when we're scientists of life, right? We're on this journey called life, not destination, okay? Because if you reach the destination in life, that's dead. Like a destination is where you're, like where you, and like we're always moving. We're always scientists of life trying new stuff, right? Let me get this little fuzzy wuzzy off. But there's nothing wrong with trying on the shoes. But I think what it is when we try to so mimic what we think is what we're supposed to be doing. And I will say that not doing this is a practice. Because I look at photos of when the girls were just first born. And I think there's that grace period of like just figuring out like what the hell's going on. I just had a child. I don't know what's going on. I've had a baby. My body's different. My mind is different. My emotions are different. My whole makeup is different. My organs could possibly be in a different order. Okay, they may be all rearranged, okay? And I think there's that grace period of figuring that out. But when I look at photos a little bit after of when the girls were starting to get older and I look at myself, I think I was trying so hard to be whatever version I thought was the right version that people thought you should be as a mom. Like those first few years with London, I look back and I think, golly, Amanda, you really were trying to squeeze yourself into that mold, the mold you thought your mom wanted, the mold you thought the, you know, this person wanted, or this family expected, or this school, or whatever, this friend group. And it takes practice to realize in a situation, even when you know someone's going to not vibe or agree, or you're going to tell your parent, I'm changing my major, or I don't even want to go to college. I have other interests. I want to go to even going to a trade school, which to me is college too. I have other things I want to do, or I want to travel for a year. If you're happy, healthy, and supporting where you're taking care of yourself, You're allowed to investigate things. But what's so hard is when we spend a good amount of that time forcing ourselves to be or do what we feel is the shoe we should be wearing. And when you take those shoes off at night, they're really empty. And you're just as confused. And I always joke that I've changed so much in the last 13 years of Blake and I being married, the last decade of having tiny people in our lives. I've been so many different versions I can't even explain to you. But I don't look at it as a destination. See, I no longer see who I'm becoming and who I am as one box. I can be all things and different things. Some things about myself don't change, like my core, who I am to my core, the fact that honestly, at the end of the day, Jesus will always be my homie. He's not a gated community, by the way. So if someone tells you he's a gated community, they're obviously not a part of his community because he would never. But that is core and central. That doesn't change. But in the last 10 years, I don't really eat dairy very much anymore. Does that mean I'm not who I was? My style has changed. My hair has changed. I'll put on extensions in the fall again. Y'all, I do it every year around my birthday. I put extensions in. I love them. I love it so much. And people are like, oh, you should grow out your real hair. Or, oh, doesn't that hurt your head? Oh, your hair is going to fall out. Or, oh, you know, that's not super authentic. It's like, what does that do for you? What do you mean by that? How is that benefiting you? How does that statement like bring value? What are you doing with that? And see what that does though, is sometimes we let that sneak in. We let that get into the inner sanctum of our voice, me included. And then in our moment of weakness, in our moment of doubt, in our moment of imposter syndrome, that voice suddenly is not other people. It's us telling ourselves this. Wow, you're inauthentic. Wow. Should you really do that? Wow. What will your daughters think? And I was talking with my therapist and you know, she said to me, cause we were chatting about stuff. And I said, you know, sometimes it's hard cause I feel a lot of pressure, you know, with when it comes to being a mom and stuff and this and that. And what if I do this? And then they think that, and she goes, isn't it great that you have open conversations and communication with your kids? And I was like, yeah, the tiny queens and I are like this. We chat it out. Even today, Lennon looked at me. Lennon was like, mom, you're kind of being a sour patch. And I was like, ooh, that was not my intent. Like, what are you talking about? And we chatted it out. And I was standing in the shower when her and I were having this conversation thinking to myself, oh my gosh, my 10-year-old and I are having a conversation about this. We are communicating. We are working it out. And my therapist reminds me when I get really scared of them growing up and I think, what will I do? How will I handle whatever situation they encounter? Because they're going to encounter life and situations are going to come up. And she reminds me that I talk to them now. And if I keep talking to them now and communicating with them now, I should be able to talk to them then. If I'm learning and growing right now, I should be able to learn and grow with them then. And there's something so powerful about experiencing life and telling your tiny people, I don't know, and I'm changing, and I think I'm going to try this. Like when I bought this shirt, I bought this cute shirt at Lulu that I'm wearing. And I told her, I was like, what do you think? She's like, it's different. And I said, I think I want to try it out. She's like, well, if you want to do it, mom, try it. They're getting to see me being different and me developing and me trying new things. And that's actually a great thing. And if I go and decide to try something new and they have a question about it, we communicate so they can ask it. So I don't have to worry about them thinking, oh, my mom, XYZ, because they're just going to come to me and talk to me about it. And it's definitely not something I take for granted. But when I look at them and I look at the shoes that they wear, I see their glass slippers. And I think, do you even realize that only you can fit that? There's one of you. DNA proves that. I love that. Although I did find out that identical twins supposedly have the same DNA. So don't ever commit a crime if you're an identical twin. But for real, there's literally one of you. And it's a very trite saying. It's very like, oh, there's one of you, so be you. And it's like, oh, okay, easier said than done, girlfriend, okay? But at the end of the day, I think it's important to remember that you have glass slippers that you wear that leave imprints on everyone you encounter. And that glass slipper is just yours. And sometimes we take it off and we put it in our pocket and we feel very mundane about our lives. But you don't have to go to a ball to wear the glass slipper. who you are is why that exists. What the fairy godmother gave to Cinderella, she gave to her in the backyard of her childhood home, surrounded by things that were already hers, were already in her life, came from her experience. Those could only be given to Cinderella for Cinderella because they were there. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, her gorgeous ride gets trampled over by the horses, the pumpkin, right? It gets crushed. But I have thought through this as well. The pumpkin was merely what carried her there. It was Cinderella inside it. It took her to the ball and it brought her home from the ball. Nothing about that changed Cinderella. She was just the gift that was being carried in it because the horse was still there and the little mice were still there. That pumpkin was a thing. And I think it's a reminder, and it's important to remember, is what I was going to say, that we have things in our lives, but they don't make us who we are. Us and the relationships that we have make us who we are. That's why the living little mice and the little dog still existed after all that. Because things do not change who we are, or we don't need to allow them to. Acquiring more things, having certain things. I can tell you, Blake and I being married the last decade, we've experienced some great highs, some hard lows, some deaths, some financial losses, some financial gains. We've run the gamut. We've truly run the gamut. And no purchase, although somewhat exciting at times, has ever carried as much joy as the relationships that we've maintained, the relationship we have, and who we are as people, and how we change and how we grow. So I want to encourage you today with that story of Cinderella that you weren't expecting maybe as we prepare to go to Disneyland. I couldn't think of a better time to share that. And I want to encourage you that I actually have those feelings about every single Disney movie and analogies like that because I've thought long and hard about it. Because to me, those movies just aren't about princesses. Although I do love Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty. I actually love them all. It's very hard when people say to pick your favorite. I don't know. There's so many things. I love Merida too. Oh, don't even get me started. I mean, but you can see from those movies, I think in the later movies of Disney, we can kind of see what they're sharing, right? There's a bigger kind of message that you kind of comes through. But I feel like that message of Cinderella is one that I want you to take with you today, to remember that the glass slipper is always in your pocket. You always have it to put on. No one else has it or carries it for you. That even if you want to try and to fit into somebody's vision of you or version of you, it's never going to be fulfilling. And for people that try to come in and take your glass slipper and steal from you, at the end of the day, even if it feels like they're winning, they're never fulfilled by it. Even if it feels like they're getting further ahead, it's never going to last. The slipper doesn't stay on them. It's not meant for them. And if you have those people in your life who are telling you whether you are worthy of that or not, remember what happens to the stepmother and the stepsisters, especially in the live action film. Because I love that ending. See, in the live action film too, to carry my point further, when they arrive, it is Cinderella's voice singing that beautiful song that draws him in. Not the beautiful dress or the shoes. Although, don't get me started. I love a good outfit. Okay, I do. I love a good outfit. I love good shoes. But that is what I wanted to leave you with today. Don't lock yourself away because of other people. Don't try and force yourself into this ideal, even if it's just your college major. I love when people tell me they're undeclared their freshman year. I think all freshmen should go undeclared unless you're super passionate about something because it's GE and you can take a lot of other classes to do stuff and learn stuff. So, I mean, if I had to give advice to a college freshman, it'd be like, unless you're super passionate, go in undeclared, take some classes, check some different majors out the first year you're there, get your GE out of the way and then pick a major. But I know the colleges sometimes make you pick a major when you're going in. But do you know the reason I switched my major 5 times? I wanted to be communications in the beginning. It was what I wanted to do. I really loved the major and everyone made me feel so like shitty about it. They were like, oh, that's the EG major. Oh, that's what the athletes do. That's the major for people who just want to get a college degree. They made me feel so awful. Like, oh, well, you're not trying hard enough. You guys, I barely passed algebra and I did a semester as a pre-med. Can I even be pre-med in my like second year of college, if in all honesty? Like, no. I took biology twice in college just to pass. Like, it was not my gifting. So just take that with you today, okay? Cinderella was always who she was and will always be who she was because that's what everyone fell in love with. The glass slipper is just a representation. And with that doorbell ring, this is the perfect time to say, I love our time together. And if no one has told you lately, you are loved. You are worthy. You have exponential and limitless potential. You are needed. I'm happy you're here. And I love you. So until next time, thanks for spending time with me.